So you have a cult?
I'm not. It's not technically. It's not that I have it. It's that I will. I will have it. I will. Future tense.
You came off like you had a fucking. You had it established. You had a compound already.
Look, Joel. Every cult starts with an idea, no, and that idea is usually
compound
scrolled
comes
in the back
when
of
you coerce a rich divorcee or something.
Oh wow, that's the first compound list. No.
That's when you get the compound.
Yeah, that's how you get the compound. You have to start the cult. You need like a capital.
Dave Koresh got a divorce?
Yeah, you need investors.
Right. So I've got this. This is written on the back of a Chili's napkin. That's how you know that this is a real business model. All right.
That's a
so,
binding legal document.
Yeah.
Chili's. You don't even need a fucking.
Chili's.
Who are the people that stamp shit at FedEx?
Notary Public.
Is it Notary Public? No.
You don't even need that.
The servers at Chili's are Notary Public.
The
it's the most professional.
Yeah, the hostess, mm-hmm. the notary hostess.
That would be actually, hold up, real quick, business model for the future when we get done from the end of the world. A Chili's that all the waiters are notaries, and you go to this Chili's to do your car deeds, your divorces,
yeah.
your legal documents.
You're not divorced until you get that. I got another idea.
Joel, at this Chili's, could you also have, like, big rooms where, like, people could preside over like disagreements of some kind? For example, if your neighbor,
a mediator?
Sort of like a mediator or like if somebody was
you have to reserve those a day ahead of time.
Yeah, you gotta call ahead. It's call ahead seating. Yeah.
You cannot. If you go to Chili's and you don't get that, you know, you don't get that quarter pounder on the brioche bun. With the aged cheddar, and you don't have Byron bring it to you, and he doesn't sign your document, you're not divorced.
Well, you're still married.
You're in a healthy relationship now.
Yeah. And when you get there, they say order. That's what they say.
Yeah.
That's how you know.
Was our first like official? We had our first official meeting. Was it at an Applebee's or Chili's?
It was at Chili's, baby.
That was the joke.
That's why I know that this is an official cult because. It started at a Chili's. Here's how this shit works. Check this out. All right.
Yeah.
Watch. Imagine. Air compressors. Everyone needs one. Not everyone has one, right?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
What I'm saying is, you know, if you want to paint outside or in an area where, like, you don't have a lot of, like, electricity, say.
I'm picking up what you're putting down.
Yeah, see? Okay. So you know how like these reverse funnel systems have like one person on the top and then like they recruit two people and then like they recruit more people, right?
Yeah.
So how
like a pyramid scheme?
Right. It's like a pyramid scheme, but in this case, it's like a bunch of straws that branch off, right? And the way this thing works is everybody in the cult blows into one end of the straw, and at the end you get 25 psi for airbrushing.
Oh my god. How many people do you need for your cult?
According to my calculations, you need between 750 and 850, depending on how hard they blow. It's all lung capacity based, actually. You need a water trap.
And yep. it would be Applebee's napkins.
That's a spit trap, bud. That's not a water trap.
Did I just invent a trombone?
Yeah, I think you just invented a trombone. Also, how are you going to, like, what happens when you switch to, like, I don't know, Gaia notes or something with a lower PSI and you have to tell the cult, you have to, like, do they kill themselves?
People.
That's what the Kool-Aid is for.
Die.
Uh-huh. Well, so here's how
flavoring.
It works.
No, you just that's when you mix the paint cans with the water
See?
Cups.
You've already got all kinds of delicious toxins. Look, this is the deal. PSI up, you do recruiting, right? You love bomb a couple of people, whatever. You recruit for the increasing the PSI. For
what
the decreasing
about,
the PSI,
what about the
suicide.
Molotov, boys? What about the Molotov?
You're going to do a tribute, right? Oh, you got to go lower, right?
Witness me!
Yeah, exactly.
Shit.
Oh, God, I hope they weren't using Molotov. That is super toxic. Now, I don't recommend doing that whatsoever. That'll make you into a skeletal-looking...
It's the wrong kind of alcohol, right?
Or you'll be on the top of a car.
Maybe that's how they got all those dudes to act like that. We'll never know.
It's not acting. It's character. It's like they're not acting. It's their character acting, and they're so deep into the character. Oh, man. Blood bags, huh? Oh, what a week.
Always looking for that ultra premium chrome, baby.
Mm-hmm.
High octane.
9 to 5 is a blood bag. You go into the office, put your IV in, leave the office, take the IV out, go home.
Do you know what it's like to work a 9 to 5 during a pandemic trying to sell truck nuts to people door to door?
Well,
enlighten us.
Let us know, Uncle Ricky. That's what you're here for, right?
Yeah, I'm here to talk about truck nuts, and that's the only thing we're going to talk about.
Truck nuts accessories.
All right, everybody, gather around.
You go door to door with these fucking hangers in your hand, bud, and you're just like, hey, look, I know, hard times, right? But look at these fucking chrome nuts. And they're like, dude, I drive a Prius. Hey, I'm not here to judge you. I'm trying to sell you some fucking metal testicles, bud.
You know what? We just got some eco nuts in. That's what you want for your Prius. And if you're looking for something more formal, we got you covered. You got
eco blood nuts.
100% reclaimed walnut wood.
Boom. Mm-hmm.
God damn.
Boom. Classy. Ass.
So how's the varnish on
it? Your hand.
Yeah, you got to varnish this. Sand it down.
Do you guys varnish your nuts?
You got to varnish your nuts, man. If you don't varnish your nuts, you are doing somebody a disservice. And that somebody
is
yourself.
Real American.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Real Americans varnish their nuts.
And you have to go in with that 2K polish, man. You just have to get it done.
You have to. You have to.
All right, while all three of us need to go ahead and polish Tino's truck nuts, let's go ahead and play that intro real quick.
All right, hold up. Is that too hard or
Tino, you good?
Yeah. Are you good?
I'm with it.
Shiny enough for you? All right.
We got to intro the intro.
Yeah, why don't you
intro
sign us
the
in?
Intro,
Since
the
your
intro.
Truck nuts are all polished, but let us know who everyone is. All
right, cool. The shiniest truck nuts right now. You're in charge of introducing everybody.
Oh, we got to say the official thing, man. Come on. Sign in, boy, Tino.
Sign in, boy.
Go. That's what I was waiting for.
That's
hey, everybody.
Up.
This is a Cutting Mat Podcast. I'm your sign in boy, the one whose drill will pierce the heavens. Tino, also known as Big V Roman, all over the internet. To my imaginary left, because we're still not in person, is the one and only Bailey.
Three Woo! W's, people. This is Bailey. This is at Kamau underscore Zeta. Check out my stuff. And he's adjacent to me. He is Brandon.
Hey, I'm Brandon. I'm on a podcast, and this is that podcast. I do I build model kits and I do mecha genre on the internet.
.com.
Yeah, mechagenre.com. Yeah. Yeah. There's one other guy on our podcast also. I haven't met him, but I hear he's real nice. Ricky.
Hey everybody. Ricky here from Ricky's Truck Nuts Emporium. If you go on Ask Jeeves and type in Truck Nuts Ricky, you'll find me right down the street around the corner.
It's with 3 Z's. Also, Truck Nuts Ricky, 3 Z's.
Yeah, you have to use Ask Jeeves is a complicated bitch. You got to use 3 Z's to find
out. He's working on getting the other domains. Just hang tight.
Yeah, hang tight now.
Y'all
boy.
Just hang tight. We're going to get every domain related to Truck Nuts. All of them.
Buy them out. Or you can just go to truegumple.com to find your selection of truck nuts, or just type in Ask Jeeves, True Gumple, and you'll find everything you're looking for in life. Welcome to the Cutting Mat Podcast.
Yes.
This is a podcast that is back now. We're back in session. Unfortunately, school's
here,
back
here.
In session. That doesn't make any sense.
Not for long, actually. They put school back in session and they pulled
it. Got rid of it, huh?
They pulled it right out.
Nope.
Yeah, not anymore. So that's that was short.
Way up, people.
Yeah. Oh, what is going on? That did not last.
Would that be a mistake?
Somebody's like, hey, Google. Is it okay to send kids
Uncle Ricky,
to school
I saw what you did there.
During a pandemic?
You know,
see, someone's paying attention there.
If it's not a mistake, at the very least, it's a nice time to reflect on what they've done and try and learn.
We're on a street tonight.
Here at the Cutting Mat Podcast, we don't beat around the bush. We kind of like slowly kind of go around the bush while bumping into it once or twice and make an awkward eye contact.
Mm-hmm.
Gotta keep that eye contact. Yeah.
Yep. Because, bro, we're on what? A streak, and I'm not talking about what's in my underpants.
Unblinking, don't blink while making eye contact.
We're talking about perspective, bitches. Tino.
Yo.
What are we talking about?
I think he said perspective bitches.
Yeah.
Perspective bitches. Yeah.
Perspective bitches. Not prospective, perspective.
And perspective bitches.
I wouldn't necessarily say it's like a 3-point perspective either. It's kind of like an omniscient thing that we have to try and do here.
That was a word. I'm gonna not gonna lie with you, Tina. I don't know what the fuck that means, bud. What is that sounds like the fourth form of like the Digimon thing.
Oh, guys, I'm feeling kind of omniscient. I have to call out.
See, now you can't keep using the word
omniscient.
So if you know how
that's your omniscient test.
You know
it's
how
required for your vehicle.
You know how cartoons will sometimes break the fourth wall. Mm-hmm. That's what you have to do for yourself.
Oh,
that's
does that make
real
sense?
I hated the whole deck.
I like that. I'm using that.
That's a good perspective. Look, as far as perspectives go, the external perspective, realizing exactly where you are in life or on what page of your comic book you happen to be on, really good way to just kind of figure out like what you're doing and where you're going. That is what we want to talk about. We actually want to talk about perspective specifically in a couple of contexts. The first one is, how do you put your failures into perspective? If you're like us, except for Bailey, we make mistakes, and those mistakes are of varying levels of what I like to call goofitude.
There's a goofy meter.
Goofitude? The low goofitude mistakes don't.
Yeah, I returned mine.
The goofometer. It was. Again,
thought it was broken.
Another attempt at starting a cult, which just failed miserably. I thought that I could maybe sell these goofometers to people and make them audit each other by holding two tin cans and then tell each other their deepest, darkest secrets.
You know what you need to do? You need to give away some free samples at the doc.con.
That's what doc.con was originally based on. Honestly, there was a documentary about a convention that sold
Scientology.
No, I don't.
What? No,
I don't think that doesn't seem.
Don't
right.
they use tin cans to talk to each other and do that the IQ test out in St. Petersburg?
I've never.
Yeah, dude, I used to like live pretty close to like the headquarters. That shit is wild.
I don't. Yeah, I'm not. Look, honestly, ever since I reached OT8, I've forgotten everything I knew about the lower levels. Huh?
Oof.
Yeah, you kind of forget where you
humble
come
brag.
From, yeah, kind of forget where you start.
No, I've been up here for
looking
so
down
long.
The old country road and thinking. Why did I sign up for Scientology?
So
Bruiser's why did I sign up? See, that's signing up for Scientology. Like, that's a high goofitude mistake. High goofitude.
That's real flight type goof.
It's a goof. That one's a goof. That's a goof.
It's Tino? That's not talking about like big blue robots, right?
Well, that's what this show's about. Big blue robots. We're talking about goofs, right? Yeah. Goofs. Yeah. Flight type goofs. Ground
Tino,
goofs.
I smell another sticker coming.
Which one? The truck
Scientology
nuts?
Goof?
Well, there's one. The other one's the
truck
goofitude
on a
meter.
Goof.
The goofitude meter. Okay.
Goofitude meter.
Let's tag that.
There you go.
What is future? So
tagging that right now.
There's kind of an application of this meter, right? Like you gotta figure out whether the mistake that you just made is real small or real big, because that kind of tells you how you should respond to it.
True.
I get into these traps, and I like this topic because I think this is going to help me and hopefully other people who I assume listen to this podcast. Joel, for example, Joel's our listener. That's why he's on today.
Glad to be here.
Like here's the thing. If you agonize over every mistake you make, you're going to have a very difficult time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You're going to have
a
bad time.
Yeah. It's going to really hamper progress that you want to make.
It's a nice way to get stuck in a never-ending circle, too.
That's right.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, my God. Yeah.
Like, you make that mistake, you agonize over it, you try and do something else, you keep making that mistake whenever you go back to it.
Oh, man. It's the law of conservation of mistake.
Yeah.
It's like when you correct one mistake, you make 10 more. Like, okay, so if I paint a panel wrong, like, or if even like a piece of a foot, let's say that I'm painting up the foot of a real grade kit, the pieces are real small. I paint up this foot piece, right? I mess it up. When I go to strip it, I spill the stripper on other pieces because I was so flustered that I messed up the first piece that I didn't think that I should be stripping it outside and not near the rest of my other pieces. Those are the pieces which were just painted.
Hold up. I think somebody's grandma's chair is going to get broke.
What?
Does that sound like it? Sounds like it. I have just the prediction. Keep going. You spilled the paint. You messed up your whole cutting mat.
Grandma's
what
chair.
What are you talking about?
Is she okay?
No, what?
Mark my words.
All right, I don't think that's where this is going, but I guess we'll find out. So anyway, you spill the stripping agent, which is, you know, usually, like, for me, it depends on what the material of the part is. For short-term stripping, I'll probably use IPA, but the problem is that also messes up Tamiya parts that have already been painted. And so I'm stripping things on my workbench, and then I get some stuff on the other stuff. So now I got to repaint 10 or 12 parts, but the problem is I mixed those paints, and I didn't save any of the paint mix. So now I have to go back and remix the paint. And that's taken 3 or 4 days, and during those 3 or 4 days, I'm agonizing over all the mistakes that I've made, and so I get less and less precise about what I'm doing. So I start to hurry. And then what ends up happening is I'm running outside so I can prime something again. And whenever I come back in, I trip, slip on the rug hits the wall, I hit the floor, and my arm goes straight through my grandma's chair. Oh,
oh shit.
How did you know?
See? Number 23, baby.
Is that what omniscient means?
I finally get it now.
Oh,
it's fucking up your grandma's chair. Damn.
Apparently,
that's the whole episode.
That's it. Leave your comments and your thoughts and stuff in our mailbox and let us know how grandma's doing.
Smash that bell. Hit subscribe.
Yeah.
Snowball.
Yeah. It's also a dangerous territory of where you turn your failures into excuses.
Yes. Yep.
That's something that, like, I think. I mean, I've done it. I'll fucking say it. Yeah, I've done it. I've turned excuses or failures to excuses, but I'm also very aware of seeing it online when it's even like something indiscreet where people don't even know that's what they're doing. Mm-hmm. Oh, I was going to do this, but this happened. Oh, no. I don't do this because of this.
Or, that's, you know, shit. This is what I did, but I normally do this.
Yeah. It's like, do you normally do
really?
It? Or was you just saying that because you fucked up your grandma's chair? Which one is it?
Or maybe, like, you should be proud of you. Maybe, like, you know, it's an old chair. It's time to replace it. And what I'm saying is maybe you did something different than you normally do, and maybe you don't like it, but other people might be able to give you feedback on it. We need to be sharing our failures. No shame.
No shame.
Where can people do that?
That's a daily thing.
It is a daily thing. I think that, like, if you're in a community that doesn't, either that doesn't, like, share your failures, like, that's a huge problem. But even if you're in a community that does share your failures but doesn't, like, celebrate your failures, that's, like, the next step. You got to either find a new community or change your community. We implemented something in our Patreon Discord. If you join our Patreon, you get an invite to our private The Cutting Mat Discord, where all four of us interact with every freaking body.
All of you always out there is.
We had a new thing called the fail chat. Mm-hmm. So on a fail chat, you can post a mistake that you made or, like, a goof that you made. And the responses are usually like, well, here's how you can try to fix it. Or, that sucks, man. Like, I totally relate to that mistake, you know?
That's probably going to happen most of the time, mm-hmm. particularly in this hobby.
That chat's used a lot, too.
It is, yeah.
It's one of the more active ones that we have. And it can be something little like, I fucked up this and that, or something like bigger, like, I've been spending too much time fucking building robots and my children have no food.
And I haven't seen my children in 3 months.
Yeah. Well, that, you know, I'm addicted,
different degrees of it. I'm addicted to pod racing. I can't stop pod racing.
So
what's happening? We will not call social services, but we will kindly recommend you make some changes in your life.
We will recommend it. And also, you can't call social services on Quadraneros. He sold his kids for 2 additional engines.
Yeah, man. Worth it. Come on, dog. Oh, yeah, there's a Star Wars bonus episode out if you want to check that out.
I highly recommend
that's
the Star Wars
bonus episode.
That's not
what we're recording
episode.
Right now, though.
We didn't talk about that episode, but there is a Star Wars bonus episode. Yeah, that was, like, pretty.
And that's going to mark the first one for Patreons only. Yep. We're finally, a fucking year later, doing exclusive, like, actual content. I'm very excited. It only took a plague to get it out of us.
It did.
And actually make recording harder. Not gonna lie. So,
again, yeah, we're talking about the fail chat. It's a great idea to implement, honestly, in any community. But if you join our Patreon, you get access to our fail chat and also the Star Wars bonus episode. But for real, the fail chat, top notch.
That's what I was gonna, say, bringing up real quick, is just that it's not just in this hobby. There's a lot of other, like, you know, toy collecting and shit like that, and other things I'm involved with where I see the failure chats be very common. So it's not just a thing in, you know, it not being very common, just Gunpla or other stuff. It exists in all these different mediums. We just got to apply it to this one.
Mm-hmm. Because here's the thing. People make mistakes. And oftentimes it makes you feel, or I think the first impulse is to feel kind of alone in it, or to feel like you're just the odd one, when you're pretty much not. You know, the fail chat in our Discord especially will make that clear. In the, you know, there are many common mistakes or many common, like, mishaps that people relate to, and certainly somebody's done something before, and, you know, more than likely Phil will kind of fill you in that, hey, this happens, you know, he's done it like 20 times or something, you know. And the important thing about that is, it, again, like Brandon said, it puts the mistake into perspective, you know, into the grand scheme of things, which can often let you realize, hey, it's part of the process. It's part of the process of getting better.
Yep. In our first failure episode, we talked about how you can't advance without failing. Like, failure is a part of success. You have to fail before you succeed. Mm-hmm. Like, that's easy to say, right? But this is a really big part of it. And I think we are, like, we fear failure not only in our hobby, but also as like a freaking society.
Yep.
It is heavily discouraged. You know, a failing grade in school means terrible things. But this is our hobby. You know, we discourage failure in society. That's a major problem. This is like a little way to start eroding away at that expectation. Like, start talking about failure in your hobby. Maybe you can start talking about failure in other areas. And you know, I think it'll be like a huge benefit.
Normalize to, like, it.
Yeah, normalize failure. Normalize talking about failure.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, real important.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not like anyone's going to fucking make fun of you, dude. Like, that's the other thing, too. Like, don't be, like, embarrassed or, like, weird about it. No one's going to be like, you're being open about your failures, you fucking dork. No one's going to fucking say that to you. Hey,
you're human. You make mistakes sometimes.
Honestly, some of, like...
If there's a shithead in a Discord or something like that that's saying things like that, I mean, they're, like, a half step from getting kicked out anyway. They've already been kicked out, you know,
or you're in a shitty Discord.
Yeah,
if that's the thing being garnished there. But
join our Discord, not a shitty Discord.
Mm-hmm. One of the things I've seen a lot, and again, various mediums and hobbies and life shit, of people being open about their failures, is I've never really seen any negative response to it.
Oh, yeah.
I've never seen anyone be like, you're fucking, you know, you're a moron or whatever. It's usually an overwhelming response of like, oh, like me. I mean, even when I posted the SD failure thing, there was a bunch of people being like, me too. Oh, yeah. And opening up about it. And then those people doing their own stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of wild, but again, like having the fail chat, like having this, you know, little goofy meter, sometimes you think something that's a big fucking major, oh my God, the world's going to end failure is really slow or really low. And let's be honest, in this hobby, there's really no major fuck ups.
Yeah.
Like, there's nothing life-threatening besides, like, you're like a hobby knife going in your leg or something.
Well, yeah, unless there's like a terrible
breathing in bad paints or some shit.
Or you take a swig of that lacquer thinner before you leave or something.
Oh, all that stuff is easily avoidable, though.
Done for the night. Since I take my swig and...
I have a history of that. My history of drinking my paint water, well, honestly, is dipping my paintbrush in my coffee cup, is fine because I use water-based paint. You have to take extra precautions if you're using solvents. The goofometer about maxes out at things like that, like bodily harm, illness, toxicity. That's the highest point of the goofometer. But at the lower levels, like maybe you get a little bit of like fun ribbing. If you make a tiny mistake, somebody's going to be like, you moron, I can't believe you did that. That's funny. Because it's like a tiny mistake. But to be in on the joke, you have to understand that it's a tiny mistake. You know, you
probably made that mistake a few times yourself.
Yes, yeah, exactly.
Oh, yeah.
You're relating.
That's like the first thing is like, you're an idiot. But guess what? So am I. I did
right.
Too.
That's important. Yeah. I've done that 10 times.
Exactly.
Oh, boy. Yeah. Yeah. Our grandmothers only have so many chairs, honestly. That's really the problem.
Y'all ever notice that shit, though? They really only be having like one chair, though.
Isn't that interesting? Huh. It's interesting. It's a conspiracy on it.
It's like
I
their
suspicious.
Chair.
Oh, my God. We just blew the lid off of this whole thing. What the hell?
How do you get your own chair? Like, what? Oh, is there like a ceremony?
No,
like
they just hand them out. You have reached a certain age, they hand them out.
So you get like Medicare Part D, and here's your fucking lazy boy you're going to sit in for the rest of your days.
It comes with a chair.
Damn, I can't wait till I'm 65.
You have to earn that chair.
You got to earn that chair, bro. And then, you know, hopefully, you know, your fucking weird nerd grandson doesn't come in fucking hauling ass about mecha robots and anime titties and smash your fucking chair by half.
I don't know, man. That just sounds like a personal attack, but I just can't prove that it was directed toward me. I assume you're talking about someone else.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Now, there's something you guys talked about before we got into the goofy meter in your
the
cult.
Goofometer.
Is expectations, and that's kind of where I guess I talked a little bit when I said sometimes those failures are going to turn into excuses, and sometimes those excuses come from like setting your expectations way too fucking high for what you're doing in reality.
Yep, first template GBWC.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, exactly. Like, just bought this Gundam marker, GBWC, here I come.
Here we go.
Yeah,
yeah, so there's one theory that kind of touches on that. We've talked about a number of ones, performance goals, mastery goals, attributes, but one in particular that deals with that is expectancies and values.
Mm, yeah, interesting.
Expectancy through value theory. So that really pertains to basically your expectations for success and the value that you place in whatever task that you're going to do, whatever, you know, skill or something like that you're trying to figure out, it'll determine the likelihood that you actually pursue it, you know? So if your expectancy for success, and that's the point of where people are taking risks, you know, doing things that are like, just maybe like realistically just beyond their current skill level, but they have some level of expectation for success, because they've seen somebody do it, they've been taught it, or other things like that, and it's something that they want to pursue. So you can basically kind of predict what people are actually likely to pursue based on that.
Oh, it's like a combination of all these topics that we've discussed before.
It's a bit,
it's like
yeah.
you're if you're, you know, for example, if you do it badly, and it's a technique you've never done before, maybe you don't have a high expectation for success.
But you're the value that you have for it just to do it and see what happens can be high there. So you're still likely to do it if it's something that you're interested in.
Yeah, you got to be intrinsically motivated effectively or have a strong enough extrinsic motivation that it's still, you know, drives you towards basically that extrinsic value must be high enough to overcome that potentiality of failure.
Mm-hmm. And on the other hand, you have people that they we have it quite a bit, I think, in this hobby, as a matter of fact, where they produce really good work, like objectively, mm-hmm. you know, it looks really nice, but you know that they haven't really necessarily challenged themselves, or they haven't really done anything new or different. And that's because what they are relying on is they have high expectations of success, mm-hmm. For something, but perhaps the value, whether the value is there or not, they have a high expectation for success. So there's no risk, in other words. And so you end up with, you know, the kind of the same thing each time as a result, because they're not really challenging themselves. They're not really pushing the boundary. Like, you know, like kind of what we say, like you said, just do it badly or, you know, or try something different, you know, enjoy the hobby for yourself. You got to question whether they're really enjoying it or they're just, you know, kind of producing it out there for click, right. You know, for the likes or something.
I fall into that trap all the time. That's like a constant snare around my leg. You know, I spend so much time on a kit and I try out new techniques on every one. You know, I've been really into panel scribing recently, but I know that I'm not trying techniques like weathering, for example. Like, I'm not trying some of these hand brushing edge highlights, stuff like that. I know that I could be pushing myself harder, but honestly, I am absolutely happy with the outcomes, you know?
I can see that. You're giving us that inside information, but the fact that you have, that I can observe, you know, from the outside, that earlier kits don't have scribe lines on it, and your more recent builds have scribe lines in it, tells me that you're still have that interest in trying something new and trying something different. I think everybody has that point of going, of they know there's something just beyond it. But it's another thing we can talk about, is just like setting goals. setting SMARF goals.
SMARF
like,
goals.
Yeah. So part of that is having pacing yourself, like doing this. Okay. You've accomplished that. Okay. You're going to add one more thing to it for the next build or whatnot. And yeah, maybe you've gone a couple builds without like adding weathering, but you've already shown a progression of things from one thing to the next. You know,
there's a weird kind of weird hole or trap or something, even in that order of things that I've done myself, is it's kind of weird, is, you know, like you're starting a new project. And then it's the weird excuse of that you haven't done it in a while. Mm-hmm. And sometimes like what I do, I mean, like what I do with anything, if it's like, you know, Premiere or Photoshop or whatever I use, if I haven't done something, a task or whatever in a while, I'll go back and kind of do the basics of that task.
Oh, yeah.
When I don't really need to, I'm just kind of taking that. I'm in my head, I'm thinking, oh, great, this is, you know, something I should be doing. It'll help me get better. And then when I'm doing this, I'm just like, I didn't really
don't be
need
so
to do
sure
that.
About that.
Maybe
don't
the
be
difficulty.
So sure about that.
Well, you know, it's something which would have been easy for you. But
well,
since you haven't
let me rephrase
done it in a while.
That. Let me rephrase that. It's when I'm trying to do something new, try something new, and honestly try it new, that I go back and say, okay, well,
you go back beyond that, like way back.
Yeah, I go way back to something that I'm just like, okay, I kind of did that because I'm not ready to take that step, kind of thing. You can get in a loop of that. I kind of got into that with mini painting for a little while. I kept like, oh, I'm going to go back to basics, because I really wasn't ready to like try whatever I was going to try out and have it be this like, you know, I set the expectations way too high for something that's really fucking minute.
And it sort of pushes you back.
There's two ways to look at that. I think there's both positive and negatives there. The way you describe it, the way I see it, and I think Brandon might have seen it too, is that there's having a good foundation is still something that you should do. You know, in school, it's always important to make sure that, you know, before you move on to something, that you can show yourself you got mastery of those things before. And in particular, if you haven't done it in a while, you're gonna find yourself tripping up. It's mm-hmm. like what is this that's again?
Exactly.
You know, so that's yeah. one way of looking at it. But since you see it on the on kind of the negative side, there could be something to that. But we talk about community and Bill meets all the time, and that might be, you know, where like if you have a discussion of that, like you're having with us right now, then it's like, yeah, bud, do something different, you know, stop doing yeah. that kind of basic shit, move on.
Well,
and then you or, get that kind of external motivation.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, well, you need people to push you sometimes.
Yeah,
but,
exactly.
But here's other for sure. perspective, unpopular. Do you enjoy doing the basic stuff? Like, well, this is kind of, if you can look at your work whenever you're done and be happy with it. And
mm-hmm. yeah, I get where you're going, because it's yeah. it's like if you're still having fun, that's all that matters, kind yeah. of things. And
yep.
yes and no, there's sometimes where it's like, if I'm, you know, if I recently been working on a mini project and there's a lot of hand painting and a lot of, you know, that kind of work, and I want to try something new on a Gundam kit, mm-hmm. sometimes it is refreshing to go back and just like snap it and just have fun with the basic
oh, yeah.
construction of the model kit.
Oh shit, yes.
Yeah,
that's
yeah,
fun.
For real.
But there's also some times where it's like, I know I'm just, you know, I don't want to do that step. I really fucking don't, but I know, you know, either it's going to be a positive thing or I don't know that I'm thinking of it as actually a
negative. I see what you're saying. And I run into that. I have so many fucking whips because I yeah. just don't so get past the point where it's like, finish the shit and, you know, stop starting a new one or, you know, going yeah. to snap
staring
something.
At five of them right now. In front
so
of
we are going to do an episode in the future about this intimidating backlogs and how mm-hmm. demotivating mm-hmm. they can be.
Mm-hmm.
It's and it you know, there is a big part of it that is perspective. Like, don't buy off more than you can chew.
mm-hmm. Yeah,
but for real,
there's also a collective standpoint from it too, where it's true. You know, no different than collecting comic books or some shit. Mm-hmm. So
yeah,
well, that'll be a good episode. Good a lot of perspectives.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
But yeah, go ahead. But let's go back to fixing my brain.
Let's fix your brain here. Let's hey, my brain, roll that brain into the shop. Let's pop the hood. Oh, yeah, there's your problem. Let's pop the hood. This one's squishy.
This one's a little squishy.
This one, it's not supposed to be squishy right here around a valve cover gasket.
All right, it's got all these wrinkles in it. We got to smooth that out.
Yeah, smooth.
Who touched my scalpel? This one's clean. Where's my rusty one? I'm trying to get some work done here. Give me my rusty scalpel. Let's go.
No, but for real, like, do you like what, on your workbench? Do you have like rusty tools that you like to use? Because I do.
Yeah.
Because there's so I've been using them for so long. Oh God, yeah.
I finally got
files that are rusty now.
They just feel right in my hand.
Was it the gun oil that you recommended?
Yes, number nine, man.
Any of those
it's like gun oil
corrosion preventative but the they have so much money. The yeah. weapon and okay. the weapon like you know auxiliary products manufacturers, god damn it, they make so much shit.
They do research. They make
they where's that money coming from?
A lot of different places. You know, anyway. They sell the chairs, those chairs that the old people have. Those are made by, you know, Lockheed Martin.
What the
Lockheed
fuck?
Martin,
talking
Boeing,
about grandma's Smith & Wesson. Chair.
Grandma's chair is a military product. Yeah, it comes out of the DOD budget. We could talk about that in a separate side episode as well. Yeah.
Motherfucker,
I knew it.
Well, let's
where are we going?
Let's go to the fucking supply drop.
Yes.
We lost Brandon again.
God, every fucking episode.
Oh no, my tendies.
Oh man.
This is the kind of sponsor part of the podcast where we put some spotlights on some of the podcast sponsors. A lot of these sponsors make they're great supporters of the show. They make what we do here possible as much as our Patreon, which this is a great time to plug it. Go to thecuttingmat.com or excuse me, thecuttingmatpodcast.com. We couldn't get that URL.
We're working on it.
Or patreon.com/ thecuttingmat. Podcast.
Yep.
And you can support there. And of course, the first sponsor of the show we have is USA Gundam Store.
Yep. A lot of people ask us online, where do we buy our Gunpla? And honestly, you know, second to a brick and mortar local store, USA Gunpla is the place to find any kind of new release, or honestly, even the old releases that you need. But in addition to, in addition to Gunpla, they also, they get all the real-time restocks. They get restocks on tools as well. I like to buy tools. You know how Bailey likes tools. That's kind of Bailey's thing. So USA Gunham is fantastic for tools, paints, all kinds of conversion bits, detail parts. Definitely recommend that. While we're on the subject of auxiliaries to Gunpla, yes, you can buy your Gunpla from USA Gunham store, but you can also buy your paints. One of our favorite paint companies is SMS Paints. Joel, take it away.
God damn, SMS Paint Scale Modeling Supply, a company based out in Australia, but through the wonderful people at USA Gunham Store, you can get these creamy, succulent, please do not taste them, paints. They are danger paints. Love these fucking things. They're airbrush ready, which is great. I mean, for airbrush, quick color swaps.
Saves so much time.
No fucking around. Yeah, and I actually use them a lot for Sufibi painting. They're great for vinyl, from what I've tested. But yeah, you were able to get them from USA Gunham Store, and they don't have just, it's not just paints, it's also tools and a bunch of other goodies as well. Brushes, yeah, the brushes are really good. And there's like a cutting mat, and there's all kinds of awesome stuff there. So, yeah, make sure to go ahead and check them out. And of course, as always, Holy Mountain Printing is one of our main sponsors for the show. And coming up very soon, we are starting the production of the first issue of the Cutting Mat magazine, which will be distributed through Holy Mountain Printing. And all Patreon members get their copies for free. So that's
physical magazines. Who makes
physical magazines? We do. We actually just did our first magazine. It was wild.
Yeah, check that out. Actually,
It's a great fucking magazine. But let's get the fuck out of here, and
we have a lot to discuss.
Yeah, we got things to talk about.
All right, I think we covered a lot of, you know, perspectives. The boys are, this is my last podcast. The boys are going to fire me immediately after this one.
You're done, buddy.
But basically, you can talk about like how we deal with failure, how failure is perceived by others, how you consider your own failures. I think that determining how big a deal your own personal failures are is sort of critical here. You know, like, we keep on coming back to this one topic, and Bailey mentioned a concept earlier that I don't think that we touched on it briefly in SMARFT goals, but I think it's important to reinstate the difference between performance goals and mastery goals.
Yes, that is why I think that's why people kill themselves sometimes.
Oh, interesting.
I mean, there's a number of reasons, I'm sure. You know, life kind of sucks sometimes.
Is it because whenever you, if you don't achieve like a really closely held intrinsic goal, it can lead to depression?
Okay. Well, I'm back.
where did you go? Wait.
Sorry, I was in a daze there. But anyway, no. Well, performance goals in particular could be things that really cause people to crowd in despair, because what you're doing there is you're making these goals. It relates closely to extrinsic motivation. So it is when you're comparing your success or failure to other people. So it really focuses on these external criteria, these external references.
Oh,
so,
no. That's like the Instagram and Facebook effect. That's whenever you're comparing, you know, your whole life to someone else's highlight reel.
Yes, welcome to that world. Yikes. of social media and what is it? YOLO, whatever. FOMO.
The internet
FOMO. FOMO. You're thinking FOMO.
Oh, FOMO.
YOLO, all the above, YOLO, FOMO. Man. Anyway, what? Go ahead.
The fear of being left out, something like that. Yeah. Fear of missing out.
Missing out. Fear of there missing out.
Yeah, but the idea is you're looking at these external, you know, kind of goals here, and you're saying you're either successful relative to that, or you, in most cases, aren't as successful. You're looking at that in kind of envy or shame or whatever. In particular, those I've been out for a while, so I don't remember the exact term, but your performance avoidance. Okay, so you don't want to seem like you're failing compared to what's seen out there. It really pertains to like teachers and stuff, giving grades and, you know, putting that top score list on the board or outside, you know, the classroom. And it's like it really reinforces that, and it's not a very good thing to be motivated by.
Fucking hated that
shit. Yep. So yep.
Then hated that we went shit. Through well, it. That's all they would do, man. Yep. Everything was ranked.
Yep. All of us went through that. So
that's actually very interesting. Mm-hmm. In some way,
shit sucks.
Comparing yourself and your own builds, or you know, your own painted miniatures, if that's your hobby, if you're a weirdo and that's your hobby,
the Instagram.
Yeah, if you compare them to everything else you see on Instagram, like that's going to be super unhealthy. That might be a major source of stress. Dude, honestly,
it will send you down a fucking rabbit hole. I'm not even just saying for Gundam, because like even sometimes with my work, like looking at, you know, other clothing companies or like other toy pages or toy photography shit is like when you start trying to fucking, you know, mimic or like, oh, they got a lot of attention with that, maybe I should try that.
Uh-oh.
That shit never works out the way you think it is. It's always this shit you're just nonchalant, truly in your own fucking, your lane, your own vision. That's the shit that does the best.
Yep, exactly. So mastery goals compared to these performance goals. But before we even get there, you know, we get into this, like that rut in particular is called self-learned helplessness. So
that's like when you try a whole bunch and then it doesn't work, or at least perceive that it doesn't work.
Yeah, it's tied to what you made, the attributions you make for your failure, your success. Essentially, you get to a point where you don't really think that you have what it takes to be successful. So you don't attempt anything, you don't take any risk, you don't try things, because you just come to this determination that you're not likely to be successful.
But could that be because your definition of success is based on someone else's achievement?
Exactly. And it could be based on something that is not, that is spurious, that is kind of arbitrary, you know? You look at it, you don't really get the, like, especially on Instagram, you don't get the real toil behind it. You don't get, you know, what's underneath that. You don't know what they did, you know, so you don't really have a sense of what it took. Doesn't that happen in graphics, in graphics and comic creation, Tino? It's like you think you can see what the end result is, and, you know, you'd like to assume that they went through it in a more like traditional, you know, style, but there's Photoshop like crazy, isn't there? So it's like you don't have a sense of what's behind it, and you get this kind of you create this kind of lofty ideal that, hey, they might not even really live up to it. But the point is how it affects you is that you come to this determination that you're unlikely to be that successful, or when you attempt it, you know, you just really don't see the same level of whatever perfection that you think they got.
Well, yeah, so that's why you need to, like you've got to determine your success based on yourself, your own progress.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah. Sorry, so, Tino, was that what you were going to say?
Yeah, more or less. I was also going to relate. That's why I think I've said this on an episode before. That's why I use my, my Instagram and all my other socials as like an archive more than like a show off thing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's the Museum of Tino.
Yeah.
Dude, I love that museum.
Mm-hmm, that's a good
museum.
My
favorite.
They got great popcorn.
I was
tastes like
say,
it came out of my microwave.
Yes. So it's like, instead, for example, like Tino, and I do this, I do a lot of the same with my Instagram whenever I actually ever post something, but it's...
Has that ever happened?
Who are you? We have yet to see.
Every now and then, I will click on Bailey's Instagram, Kamau_Zeta, just to see what is happening over there. And honestly, it is a fascinating place.
It's a whole new world.
It is. It's an archive of stuff. My Instagram is a bunch of like random pictures of the same thing, like 10 pictures of the same project. Bailey's are all different techniques. Like,
yeah,
it's an interesting, it's a trip, man. You should check it out.
I'm trying to get it back going. But in any case, the idea is that you should have, yes, a very kind of internally derived personal determination of what success is, of what you want to achieve. And really what you're looking at is you're wanting to see that you had a starting place, you know, you attempted some things, you took risks, you tried new techniques, you interacted with genuine people, Cutting Matt Discord, for example.
Yeah.
You know, that are sharing their experiences and ideas and whatnot. And you use that to kind of bolster what you're doing, what you're developing for your skills and whatnot. And yeah, go ahead and share that out. But not for the goal of getting those clicks and those likes, but rather to kind of share the knowledge, share the experience, in hopes that other people can get that from you as well.
Mm-hmm. Well, there's also that component where you can have intrinsically derived goals that come from you, but you can use external support to help you achieve those intrinsic goals. The origin of the goal is what really matters, effectively. If I'm picking up what you're putting down, if I'm smelling the gas that you're passing,
Diesel's
sandwich
a little
that
tangy.
You're making. What?
And,
you're welcome.
Yeah, that's what it is.
83 is a little sour.
I believe it's a bit sour. The 93.
We're talking
octane,
about the gas, right?
Mm-hmm. That 93. Woo-hoo. Premium.
I'm picking it up and I'm putting it down.
You're picking it right up, setting it right on down. Man, I think my train of thought crashed. Right, here's what it was. The origin of the goal is what matters. Whether your goal, you know, your goal should come from you. You should do things because you want to do them, mm-hmm. not because you think that society expects something from you.
Yeah.
Dude, that's a big thing with YouTube. That's like both as like a platform and then also as like a YouTube creator, is that that's the biggest trap you fall into, is like, should I do stuff that I like, or should I do the thing that everyone else is on YouTube doing the same exact thing that I, you know, maybe I should do that. Mm-hmm. That is like, that's actually honestly like the first fucking little question that almost everyone I talk to that has a scale modeling YouTube channel, they ask that like almost immediately.
Oh yeah.
I'm just like, well, damn, why are you doing it, dog?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Usually the first question is like, what's a good camera? It's like, what should I do?
Like, what?
Oh man, that's not good.
Uh-oh. You might not have a motivation on that
one.
Uh-oh. Uh-oh.
Off to a bad start already.
But you know, even if you get off to a good start, like let's say you like do a video that's super popular. What? That's going to like maybe mess with your expectations.
Yeah, dude.
Mm. There's the other side of the coin.
Yeah, let's flip this coin right over.
It's weird.
This coin's dirty.
It's weird to me how fast that even small failures can be internalized, and you can use that against yourself. But then also, one thing going viral that you do can blow that way out of proportion in your brain.
Yeah.
And get super internalized. And then all of a sudden, everything else that you do that may not go as viral suddenly looks like those failures that we were talking about before.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay, Tino, I think I can talk for myself on this one, bud. Okay. Okay, Tino.
Hey, look, we're not singling you out.
No, I wasn't saying that about anybody.
Hold on. We're not singling you out, Joel.
Hey.
We're not.
Observation.
No, real shit.
Something's going on with you, bud.
What Tino just said is literally 120% exactly what happened with me and my whole... Here's the thing.
Here's the thing.
I Before this,
the thing about
before I did that video, right? I actually I had a Pokemon trading card channel that was purely anonymous, and I just did pack openings.
So it you invented fun. Pack openings for Pokemon trading
cards? No, I fucking Amazing. Wish I'd be rich. But I wanted to start doing Gunpla YouTube from watching like Zach and Justin, and I had an honest interest of like video and trying to get into that, and that. That video was just, it was actually something I learned, I think from someone at the shop when I went, it was a conversation that I had with someone, and I'm sure it's an old military modeling trick. And so I was like, okay, dope. I'm just fucking, let's do this little video thing. Let's try it out. I can fucking do it and do the video. And then, yeah, in theory, it blew up larger than anything I was expecting it to do. And then that's kind of what, what Tino said is now I actually did another tutorial video after that I fucking scrapped because I had it in this head. I was like, okay, this one's at like fucking 20,000 something. The next one I should do should, you know, be at this
should
before I worked 40, in like 000. Before I worked in like social media and shit. It's like I was like, okay, this is, you know, it should be, you know, a couple thousand.
You know, YouTube they, should be sending you that button, baby.
YouTube should be sending you a plaque. It's
so right. True.
The internet Black. Is you cannot predict the internet. The tides ebb and flow in an unexpected way, and sometimes things get picked up by the current. And
the only thing predictable about it is unpredictable.
The only thing predictable about it is that somebody will call you a mean name. It will definitely for sure.
Only thing predictable, happiness dies in the comments.
Never read the comments.
Don't. It still happens.
Just don't read the comments.
Don't read the comments. But no, yeah, that's exactly what happened.
This is what it is. Like your expectations got skewed, and all of a sudden, it wasn't good enough.
But what kind of helped with putting that back into reality was also watching the other like YouTube channels and then realizing like, well, fucking 10,000 plays ain't fucking nothing. That's horseshit.
Oh yeah.
That's nothing. You know, that's chump change compared to that.
I mean, there are hundreds of millions
because,
right?
I mean, because it's something where it's like and I think this is the biggest trap that a lot of people fall into is that this is a new subject. It's a new subject matter. It's a new platform. For me, it was going from Pokemon TCG to scale my two fucking opposite sides of the fucking spectrum, nowhere close to each other at all. And it, you know, the progression that I had in one was larger than the progression I had in the other, but because it was a new thing, it felt like, oh God, this is going to be a thing. And then you start getting into that weird setting, very bad expectations from other people that you're basing yourself off of. And so now all your minor mistakes feel like they're massive fucking mistakes when in reality, none of this shit fucking matters.
Right.
Except for to you. And you're basing all the shit that matters to you off of other people's shit.
Yep.
It's a wild fucking thing. And I think it just all clicks with my brain, brain molecules and shit.
All your brain molecules just sort of aligned and now your catalytic converter's clean somehow. That's how that usually works.
Yep. The brain pan finally sat right on the burner there.
Yeah, the left side was just on fire, and the other side was like cold for some reason.
Still cold.
Yeah,
and all the frozen chicken tendies were on there. Like,
ice.
Chicken titties. Man, the I thought the chicken titties were going to burn.
Cold as ice.
Yeah.
Drink, but that's... get Uncle Ricky's chicken titties. No, I didn't say tendies. I said chicken titties.
I'll have four chicken titties. I don't care if they have to come off with two chickens. What?
What?
If we
that
could impart,
that is so a shop. Oh my gosh,
I can't.
Are you shopping? Diddy's? Okay, are you going to shop it? Well, I guess we have a sticker now. That's wonderful.
We got three this episode.
Yeah,
it's a good,
very productive episode.
That's what. Yeah, it's productive. It's when we're like fucking.
I mean, this
cheese,
is oh
fucking logo.
Yeah. Our marketing department is gonna
gonna put Chick-fil-A out of business. Oh.
I already got an idea. Here's the idea for the chicken titties one. It's actually going to be a screenshot of Cluck and Bell from San Andreas. Grand Theft Auto,
yes. Yep.
But it's
so
changed
I'm here
for
it.
Titties. It's changed for chicken titties.
Well, there it is. That you heard it here, folks. If you join our Patreon, you could also receive this as one of your stickers. We have three different.
The last one, just to like let you guys know. Okay, real quick, this is like the end of the episode plug. There's a tier that is literally $2, and I think for the past couple of months, all the $2 tiers have gone like an insane amount of stickers,
tons of stickers,
because we spoil our $2 people, and we printed a sticker. That's a square sticker, and it literally has a border of the Jar Jar Binks NASCAR car. In the center is Anakin Skywalker and his pod racer, and the NASCAR font says, what was it? Live fast or drive fast and eat ass.
Drive fast and eat ass.
Yeah. So baby. That's a free sticker you get on top of the other two you're getting for paying literally $2 a month.
It's good shit.
This is a good deal for Patreon.
That's nuts, man. I'm going to sign up for my own Patreon.
Actually, I was considering signing up for our Patreon. I might do that whenever we're done recording here. But if you take one thing away from this episode, it should be that this is a hobby and you should have fun with it. If that means helping put your failures into perspective, so that they don't cause anxiety, that is what we're here for. That's really the important thing, you know.
And
do the same with your successes. Don't let your successes give yourself unrealistic expectations, which then make you think that something is a failure that really isn't, and then it also causes anxiety. Really, the point is, we all need a hobby that can help us relax and de-stress, and feeling like you're a failure is not going to do that.
I'll tell
That's
you
not
what.
A fun hobby, man.
I'll tell you what. If you've listened to this in order, not backwards at 10 RPM or something.
Actually, if you listen to this backwards, it'll say Paul is dead.
Then your ability to kind of put your failures into perspective, or having that self awareness that comes from that, will likely also temper the inflation that you have on your successes, really. And most people are coming from that, like Brandon said, most people are coming from that level of likely failure before you see success. This is not a perfect science. We have a lot of successful people out there that are just shitheads, but chances are you will have, a measure of a modicum of modesty, if I might say, coming from putting your failures into perspective, that your successes, they are something to celebrate, but recognize that you need to just turn that right back around into more effort and more good work, So
that's the objective. Mm-hmm. You think Tony Hawk's never fallen off a skateboard? Which reminds me.
I can't say I've ever seen it. But the demo's dope. I've been playing it and it's fucking great. Mm-hmm.
Wasn't a couple Tony months Hawk ago is... he busted up his hand?
That's accurate. That was a pretty big failure because there was bodily harm involved. He bounced back from that. So here we are, when you become, as great a master of a sport as Tony Hawk, who, by the way, give us a call, Tony Hawk. We haven't heard from you in a while. It has actually been since let's see, today is Friday, so
never. Tony Hawk, never, dude.
We're not angry. It's fine. No.
We know you care.
We get it.
We just really want to talk to you.
You're
about
busy
skateboarding and tiny robots.
And
here's the thing. Here's
we missed
thing.
Your birthday
Real
two
shit.
Years ago, so.
Yeah, we did miss that. Real shit, Tony Hawk, is that we've used you as an ironic joke on this podcast for quite some time now. And we've apologized before. I don't need to apologize to the man a second time.
No, I do. I haven't apologized before.
But we are all massive fans of your work and of the games. I mean, that sounds dumb, but I've fucking played the shit out of Tony Hawk. All we want to do is I've seen videos of you telling people how to kickflip and hanging out and shit.
Also, we've made expectations that we'd get them to show up.
Well, see, I mean, it's all COVID and stuff, so I want to reach out and send you a model kit, Mr. Hawk. And, you know, just stop doing 900s and just sit down for a second and just build the model kit. Relax. You're doing ollies and you're
real talk. Your I body think he'll needs dig Eureka 7, man.
He doesn't have to stop doing 900s. Also, he wakes up, you know, you wake
also
up,
Gleam in the Cube is a great movie. Fucking watch it.
Mm-hmm.
Boom.
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 Tino.
Yes.
Sometimes you sign this in and that's every time, bud.
Sometimes.
And
every time,
sometimes it's every time, and sometimes you sign us out. And that's every time, dog.
60% of the time, it's 100% of the time.
God damn, fucking right, buddy.
Oh, it smells like a raccoon got in the copier.
That's the math that I like.
Mathagician, baby.
That's the fucking rocket surgery I'm
like
doing,
Bigfoot's
bud.
Dick.
Oh, jeez. It's all right, sign off.
Get
time.
Us the fuck out of here. Yeah, get us out of here, bud.
All right. Thank you everybody so much for listening to the Cutting Mat Podcast. This has been a truly enlightening episode.
It's been something.
It's been something. I am your sign in, sign out boy, the one whose drill will pierce the heavens. Tino, also known as Big V Roman all over the internet. To my left is the one and only Bailey.
Kamau _Zeta. That's me. Check it out. I'll be posting shit soon, I promise. To my left is Brandon.
Mecha genre. I post things all the time. It's not as cool as the stuff that Bailey posts, but it's still pretty cool. And to my left is Joel.
Hey, everybody. It's your Uncle Ricky here.
Truck nuts.
Or True Gunpla. I don't nearly post as much cool shit as these guys do, but I do post cool stickers and designs and clothing stuff.
Accurate.
So go look at their stuff first, and then come on to Ricky's Truck Nut Emporium right down the street on the right, and we'll talk about truck nuts. And I will let you all know that I found a 3D file for truck nuts.
Excellent. I was actually going to ask you later.
That's
try
that's
me.
Fantastic.
We might have some Patreon truck nuts coming.
Holy shit!
Yeah, I'm wondering slightly who, which. I'm wondering the guy that had.
Who's nuts the cast?
Yes,
who's nuts the cast? I know exactly.
Scanner.
I know exactly what you're thinking. Somebody cast their own nuts.
That's
and then,
what I'm talking
and
about.
And then molded them and stuck them to their truck.
And made them
We're
look
all thinking
like,
it.
Made them look like manufactured truck nuts.
They just made them
innocent,
like fluorescent green, and they hung them on the back of their F-250, and they're like, looks
those
like
are...
my truck's got some nuts.
Oh, I tell you one thing, those trucks be dragging, Bobby.
But that truck... You got to keep them varnished.
Those are my nuts. I don't know.
In the meantime. Oh, boy. You know, when I was dragged away by the man at the supply drop, I'm starting to think the second half of this podcast might just be one big fever dream. Huh.
That's most of
within
the podcast are fever dreams.
Interesting.
If you don't have a fever, well, no dinner. I don't know. Fucking no.
I don't know. Fucking
hit the fucking stop recording button already.
I don't have forget. Okay. Thanks for listening, everybody. Bye. Click, click.
not that button.
Oh, no. Not that button.
You just ejected Brandon. Fucking A.
Oh, he's gone again.
Bailey's Canadian now.
Hey, class of 2020, what's going on? We just wanted to say congratulations to all you guys and gals.
Yeah, we're so proud of you. Wow, you're so smart. What it is showing off, actually, but how smart you are.
Ricky,
I never got
they're
to
not
know
showing
graduation.
Off. Okay, all right, they're not showing off. They're just celebrating. And I mean,
listen, everybody, you're not missing much. I heard about my grad, which I didn't go to. I didn't miss anything. It sucked. So,
boys,
what?
You're supposed to just say congratulations because they're missing their graduation and they work so hard and they deserve a great grad. Just say congratulations, everybody.
Congratulations, show offs. Congratulations, I guess.